Let's pray the blessing before reading Proverbs. We're continuing with part two of the 30 sayings found in Proverbs 22 through 24. Lord our God, you are the only wise God. You are infinite in wisdom. You made the universe and everything in it with great wisdom, and you want your people to be wise. Thank you for giving us the book of Proverbs. It helps us become wise so that our lives are pleasing to you and successful and full of peace and joy. Lord, you have taught us that wisdom is better than wealth. It's better than everything else. So help us love wisdom, treasure it, seek it, find it, and hold on to it. Amen. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 19, saying number 16. My child, listen and be wise. Keep your heart on the right course. Do not carouse with drunkards or feast with gluttons, for they are on their way to poverty, and too much sleep clothes them in rags. Listen and be wise. It's not enough to have knowledge, information, even a lot of information. Fallen angels have a lot of knowledge. Evil people can have a lot of knowledge. People going to hell have knowledge. We need wisdom. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge so that we live according to God's wise principles. And those principles are in accord with who God is. Listen and be wise. Wisdom is very advantageous, very beneficial. Why? Because God is wise. He favors those with wisdom. He blesses those with wisdom. The fruit of wisdom is good decision making. That results in success in this life, followed by eternal success in the life to come. The fruit of wisdom is better, more pleasant, a better, more pleasant, more peaceful life. My child, listen and be wise. Keep your heart on the right course. There is a way. There is a path. There's a road. There's a course that leads to a successful life. And there are things that will take us off course, like allowing ourselves to spend too much time with those who don't eat and drink to live, but live to eat and drink. Gluttons, drunkards, alcoholics, the partiers. Be a person whose heart, the core of who he is focused on living wisely, whose heart is focused on the most important things, like growing in the knowledge of God and God's word, serving the Lord by building his community of salvation, and proclaiming the good news to those outside that blessed community. Do not focus your thoughts, time, and energy on insignificant things like entertainments and pleasures, like great eating and drinking and dining experiences. Saying number 17, listen to your father who gave you life, and don't despise your mother when she is old. Get the truth and never sell it. Also get wisdom, discipline, and good judgment. The father of godly children has cause for joy. What a pleasure to have children who are wise. So give your father and mother joy. May she who gave you birth be happy. Children, pay attention to the wisdom of your parents when you are young, of course, but even when you are older. Your parents will always have more life experience than you and more wisdom than you. Be intentional about getting truth, wisdom, discipline, and good judgment from them and from others who are wise. Wise children bring tremendous pleasure to wise parents. So, parents, do everything you possibly can to produce wise, godly children. Model a wise, godly life for them. Teach them, correct them, discipline them. You'll be very happy that you did. Saying number 18. Oh, my son, give me your heart. May your eyes take delight in following my ways. A prostitute is a dangerous trap. A promiscuous woman is as dangerous as falling into a narrow well. She hides and waits like a robber, eager to make more men unfaithful. A wise father wants his son to be wise and follow in the father's good and wise ways. He wants his son to cherish his teachings and keep them in his heart. A wise father knows that one of the things that will ruin his son's life is sexual immorality. And so he warns his son about the dangers of having sex with prostitutes and promiscuous women. Promiscuous sex is so common today. No sex outside of marriage. It's not right. It is not wise. Saying 19, who has anguish? Who has sorrow? Who's always fighting? Who's always complaining? Who has unnecessary bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? It's the one who spends long hours in the taverns, trying out new drinks. Don't gaze at the wine, seeing how red it is, how it sparkles in the cup, how smoothly it goes down. For in the end, it bites like a poisonous snake. It stings like a viper. You will see hallucinations. You will say crazy things. You will stagger like a sailor tossed at sea, clinging to a swaying mast. And you will say, they hit me, but I didn't feel it. I didn't even know it when they beat me up. When will I wake up so I can look for another drink? These are very vivid descriptions about the allure and the deceit of excessive drinking. An alcoholic drink can look delicious, taste delightful, and make you feel happy. There's a reason why it's called happy hour. But those who drink too much end up in a sad, pathetic condition. They experience physical suffering and mental suffering. They lose all self-control. They say and do stupid, crazy things. They're more aggressive. They get into fights. They get beaten up. Eventually, they ruin their health. They destroy their finances. They compromise their self-control. They underperform at work. They hurt themselves and their families. So, exercise self-control with alcohol and do not overindulge. And when it comes to marijuana, not mentioned here in Proverbs, but I am going to discuss it briefly. Marijuana is different from alcohol. There are no legitimate uses for smoking marijuana. When it comes to weed, Shema has a zero tolerance policy. Absolutely no marijuana usage at all. Zero. FS. Nada. Chapter 24, saying 20. Don't envy evil people or desire their company, for their hearts plot violence, and their words always stir up trouble. Evil people can be envied because they lie and cheat and steal and use violence and do all kinds of illegal things to become rich and successful. They do all kinds of immoral things to get short-term pleasures. Looks attractive on the outside, but do not envy them. Don't desire to be with them and share in their ill-gotten gains, their ill-gotten pleasures. Saying 21. A house is built by wisdom and becomes strong through good sense. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with all sorts of precious riches and valuables. Wisdom and knowledge are like a well-built house full of valuable possessions. Through wisdom and knowledge, a person can establish a stable, meaningful, and successful life. Wisdom is powerful. Wisdom is beneficial. So love wisdom. Seek wisdom. Pursue wisdom. You'll be so happy that you did. Saying number 22, verse 5. The wise are mightier than the strong, and those with knowledge grow stronger and stronger. So don't go to war without wise guidance. Victory depends on having many advisors. Wisdom is more powerful than physical strength. Wisdom is necessary for real strength and success and victory. With wisdom, knowledge, and wise guidance, a person gains an advantage. Better decisions are made, enabling him to be better able to overcome all of life's many challenges. And when you have an important decision to make, in this case, going to war, but when you have an important decision to make, get wise guidance. Seek out wise counsel and get their advice. I've known people at Shema who have made terrible, terrible decisions. If they had just talked to me, I could have easily prevented them from making these foolish, terrible decisions. Saying 23, wisdom is too lofty for fools. Among leaders at the city gate, they have nothing to say. Wisdom is necessary for engaging in important discussions. Fools, those who ignore God and disregard God's wise principles, lack the ability to understand the depth and the rightness of wisdom. They are incapable of meaningful participation in important, insightful conversations. Why can it be so hard to talk to your non-believing family and friends about really important issues, deep issues? The answer is because they're fools. They don't fear God. They don't respect the word of God. They can't discern truth from error. They lack wisdom. Wisdom is too lofty for fools. Among leaders at the city gate, they have nothing to say. Saying 24, a person who plans evil will get a reputation as a troublemaker. The schemes of a fool are sinful. Everyone detests a mocker. A person who plans evil, the schemes of a fool, a mocker. A person who plans evil will get a reputation as a troublemaker. Don't plan to do anything that will harm others, that will hurt others. It's wrong to harm people, to hurt people. We are to bless, not curse. We are to help, not harm, right? And when we harm others, we also are harming ourselves. We slice off a little bit of our soul. Every time we're cruel to others, harm others, we're damaging ourselves, our souls. Now, while they might seem to be successful at first, those who harm others will eventually get a reputation as being a bad person, an evil troublemaker who is to be avoided. A person who plans evil will get a reputation as a troublemaker. The schemes of a fool are sinful. Fools, those who disregard God and God's wise principles for living that he's made known to us, fools come up with schemes that are sinful, wrong, destructive, harmful. Let me give you some schemes of today's fools. Big government instead of small government like the founding fathers wrote into the Constitution. High taxes. Vast expansion of government regulations. Social programs that ultimately create dependency and destroy personal responsibility and destroy the family. Abortion rights, schemes of a fool, pure evil, open borders, truly insane. Critical race theory in education, destructive, ridiculous. Defunding the police, schemes of a fool. Not prosecuting people who steal less than $1,000, like they have passed in California. Suppressing freedom of speech. Canceling those who disagree with you. No-fault divorce, euthanasia, normalizing perversions like homosexuality, lesbianism, and transgenderism, allowing biological men to compete in women's sports. Two more big, foolish schemes that are sinful, ruinous, destructive, monstrous: socialism and communism. Everyone detests a mocker. Those who make fun of and insult God and the truths of the Word of God, they're mockers. Those who mock Christianity, those who mock Christians and Messianic Jews, those who mock our values will eventually be disliked. Everyone detests a mocker because their mockery of these really good and important truths leads to the ruination of the people they're influencing and the destruction of the society they're living in. Everyone winds up detesting a mocker, and our society is filled with mockers. Saying 25, if you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. Rescue those who are unjustly sentenced to die. Save them as they stagger to their death. Don't excuse yourself by saying, look, we didn't know. For God understands all hearts, and he sees you. He who guards your soul knows you knew. He will repay all people as their actions deserve. There may be times when a society is decent, the economy is good, life is relatively easy. We experienced that in the United States for decades and decades and decades and decades. And there may be times when it's a time of evil, danger, injustice, poverty, and hardship, like we are now entering into more and more. When there is great injustice, the Lord expects the righteous to fight that great injustice. He does not want them to fold under pressure and turn a blind eye to the evil that is taking place. He wants the godly, the righteous, to be strong and courageous and oppose the oppression, oppose the persecution, oppose the murder of innocent people around us. Think of those Jewish people who were protected from the Nazis by courageous Christians who risked their lives to save them. Think of those courageously standing for the children in the womb who are being slaughtered today. What motivates us to put ourselves at risk, do what is right, and fight evil and oppression? The knowledge that God, the ultimate judge, knows all and will reward or punish us. We cannot use the excuse, like so many did in World War II in Europe, oh, we didn't know what was happening to the Jews. We're not responsible for what happened to them. So many knew, but refused to do absolutely anything. Saying 26, my child, eat honey, for it is good, and the honeycomb is sweet to the taste. In the same way, wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it, you will have a bright future, and your hopes will not be cut short. Wisdom is so good, so delightful, so beneficial, so advantageous. Just as honey is sweet to the taste and good for us to eat, wisdom brings satisfaction, success, delight. It enhances our lives by enabling us to make good decisions that are as pleasing and satisfying as eating some delicious honey. Saying 27. Don't wait in ambush at the home of the godly, and don't raid the house where the godly live. The godly, the righteous, may trip seven times, but they will get up again. But one disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked. There are advantages to being righteous and godly. The godly have resiliency because they know that the Lord is their rock and their fortress and their strong tower and their redeemer. When they experience difficulties, they are able to bounce back. When they stumble, they're able to get up and continue their journey to God and to eternal life. In contrast, the wicked lack resiliency. They have no assurance that they are in a right relationship with a wise, powerful, loving God who is there to help them. They have no sure hope of eternal life. And so, if they experience a disaster, they do not have the mental and spiritual resources to bounce back. If they experience a disaster, they're much more likely to not recover. Since I've lived in my neighborhood, two Jewish women who lived just a couple houses away from me killed themselves. One had money problems. Her solution, she committed suicide. Another one, a nurse, killed herself just a year and a half, two years ago. I don't know why. Teenage suicide is such a huge and growing problem. Why? These teenagers are so far from God, from truth. Those who live godly and righteously will have hope and perseverance, even when facing difficult circumstances. They'll be able to overcome and prevail, while those who continue to rebel against the Lord are likely to experience a catastrophic failure. Saying number 28, don't rejoice when your enemies fall. Don't be happy when they stumble, for the Lord will be displeased with you and will turn away his anger from them. Taking pleasure and celebrating when our enemies fall is not right or wise. All people, every human being is made in the image of God. Every human being is precious, even our enemies. And there is an element of tragedy and sadness when the Lord punishes people. We are to have compassion toward those who have wronged us, who have hurt us, who are our enemies, even when the Lord is punishing them. And to motivate us further to not rejoice when our enemies fall, we are told that the Lord will be displeased by that twisted kind of happiness and may not punish our enemies as much as they deserve. That means they may continue to be our enemies and hurt us, and we don't want that to happen. Think of the enemies of the Jewish people who celebrate when we are harmed, captured, raped, and killed. Celebrations. Do not be like that. One very recent example, on October 7th, the day of this horrific massacre, other atrocities, as a response to the atrocities in Israel, a doctor working at Beaumont Hospital in Dearborn could not contain her pleasure, her delight. And on social media, she posted characters from the musical Oklahoma with a note, "Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day." Dr. Abu Arabia was recently terminated from the employment at Beaumont Hospital, saying number 29, don't fret because of evildoers. Don't envy the wicked. For evil people have no future. The light of the wicked will be snuffed out. Two attitudes to avoid when it comes to the wicked. The first is not obsess over them and their evil deeds. Oh, Lord, they're so evil. Why are they allowed to keep getting away with it? Why aren't you punishing them? It's so upsetting. I see this evil day after day after day after day. Obsessing about evil and evildoers. The second attitude to avoid is envying them because of their success, their wealth, their power, their fame that they've gotten through their evil, corrupt ways. We need to know that just as the poor will be with us always, evil and evildoers will be with us always until the Lord returns. We need to understand that God knows what the wicked are doing, and he is allowing them to continue to do what they are doing. And in his mysterious will, he is even using them to advance his plans. He does bring good out of evil. So comfort yourself by knowing that the wicked will experience the ultimate consequence for their evil. Their light will go out. The little life they have experienced in this life will come to an end. Trust the Lord to punish those who oppose him, who are evil, who are wicked, in his time and in his way. This will create inner peace in you, not fretting, not upset, and not envy. Last one, saying 30. My child, fear the Lord and the King. Don't associate with rebels, for disaster will hit them suddenly. Who knows what punishment will come from the Lord and the King? It's easy for people to be rebellious against God and God-ordained authorities. Because we are naturally rebellious. By nature, we are rebels. We join the rebellion of the fallen angels, and people are in a state of rebellion against the greatest authority, God. So in our fallen state, it's natural for us to rebel against the Lord and lesser authorities like the government. Come so easily. Don't rebel against the government and disobey its laws. The government has the authority to punish rebels, and the punishment can be very severe. We are to obey the governing authorities unless they become evil and tyrannical, which our government is not quite at yet. Moving in that direction, but not there yet. This pleases the Lord, obeying governing authorities, and contributes to a stable and peaceful society and reduces the risk of harm to us. That is the consequence of rebellion. The 30 sayings, Proverbs 22 through 24. Please stand. Let's continue with our tefillot, our prayers using the Avinu Malkeinu prayer.